An aerial view looks down on a felt-textured patchwork of saffron-brown fields. Wards appear atop the view, Bogus and Bunce and Bean, one fat, one short, one lean. These horrible crooks, so different in looks, were nonetheless equally mean. A clay-modeled hand holds a book. On its cover, an oval sepia-toned illustration shows an anthropomorphic fox leaned against a tree. Above the illustration, the book's title reads, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Now, in stop-motion animation, inside the illustration, the fox rises up from the tree, which sits at the top of a hill against an amber sky. He extends his arms wide, squats, then jogs to the opposite side of the tree and stretches his legs. Mr. Fox leans back against the tree and chews a straw of wheat. He tucks the straw into a pocket of a mustard brown suit he wears, then plucks an apple from a branch. Giving it a wipe on his suit jacket, he takes a bite, then spits it out. Another anthropomorphic fox approaches from the patchwork field and puts a hand on her hip. Mr. Fox flips off a portable radio clipped to his jacket.
What'd the doctor say?
Nothing. Supposedly it's just a 24-hour bug. He gave me some pills.
I told you, he probably just ate some bad gristle. Should we take the shortcut or the scenic route?
Let's take the shortcut.
Oh, but the scenic route is so much prettier.
Okay, let's take the scenic route.
Great. It's actually slightly quicker anyway.
He jogs on ahead of her and picks a flower. She catches up to him, and he gives her the flower.
Thank you.
He wraps an arm around her, and they continue on. Elsewhere, an array of windmills populate a small commercial farm. A sign on one says, Burke's Squab Farm.
What is a squab?
You know what a squab is. It's like a pigeon, I suppose. Should we go through the hole under the horse fence or climb the rail over the bridle path?
Well, I guess the horse fence would be a little safer.
Well, but the bridle path puts us right out next to the squab shack.
Okay.
What's wrong? You're acting all skittish. Don't worry, I've been stealing birds for a living since before I could trot. By the way, you look unbelievably beautiful tonight. You're practically glowing. Maybe it's the lighting. I've been
in this town so long. The foxes sneak under a wooden fence, through segments of pipe, and through a pasture. Stealthily, they continue over another fence, past a horse in a stable, and across the front porch of a house. Inside, a man watches a TV screen. One at a time, the foxes traverse a clothesline under which a beagle sleeps in a doghouse. Mr. Fox lays a clean shirt onto a puddle, then follows his companion over the shirt to a pile of logs. They pause there for a moment, then athletically vault over another fence, climb a tree, and creep along the roof of a workshop where a man splits wood. They hop down into a wheelbarrow, then dart into a bird coop. The foxes emerge from a small pop door, each carrying a bird in their mouth.
What's that?
What?
I think it's a fox trap.
Where?
Look at this.
No, get away from there.
Is it spring-loaded?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if you come from over there and you're standing at this door to the squab shack, this little gadget probably triggers the...
What?
Move out of the way, darling. That's right where it's gonna land.
Don't. Let's go.
Mr. Fox tugs a chain that hangs down from above, and a cage drops, trapping them inside.
No, it just falls straight right down. Whew. I guess it's not spring-loaded.
I'm pregnant.
He gapes.
Wow. We're gonna have a cub. Honey, that's great news.
If we're still alive tomorrow...
Over a fence, lights come on and a pitchfork and shovel come out of a building.
If we're still alive tomorrow morning, I want you to find another line of work.
Okay.
Text appears over a gloomy sky. 2 years later, 12 fox years. A helicopter flies past. Under its belly, a box hangs from ropes. Below, yellowed grass covers a mound of earth with an open entrance along its side. Atop the mound, barren trees flank an antenna and roof vent. A rabbit on a bike tosses a newspaper onto a welcome mat at the entrance. On the paper, an address label reads, Fox, number one bramble on shrub. An article inside reads, Fox about town with Mr. Fox.
Does anybody actually read my column? Do your friends ever talk about it?
Of course. In fact, Rabbit's ex-girlfriend just said to me last week, I should read Foxy's column, but they don't get the Gazette. Ash, let's get cracking.
Why would they? It's a rag sheet.
I'm sick.
You're not sick.
I have a temperature.
You don't have a temperature.
I don't want to go.
Hurry up. You're going to be late.
I love the way you handle that.
At a kitchen table, Mr. Fox reads as his wife cooks. Ash, a small fox, returns.
Your cousin Christofferson's coming on the 6th. I want you to be extra nice to him, because he's going through a very hard time right now.
Where's he
going to
sleep?
We're going to make a bed for him in your room.
I can't spare the space. Put him in Dad's study.
Dad's study is occupied by Dad.
Mr. Fox cuts a real estate listing out of the paper.
I don't want to live in a hole anymore. It makes me feel poor.
We are poor, but we're happy.
Comme ci, comme ça. Anyway, The views are better above ground.
His wife serves breakfast. He kisses her hand.
Honey, I'm 7 non-Fox years old now. My father died at 7 and a half. I don't want to live in a hole anymore. And I'm going to do something about it.
He flips on a radio beside him, devours a plate of French toast, gets up, and drinks some coffee.
Well, I'm off. Have a good day, my darlings.
You know, foxes live in holes for a reason.
Yes and no.
Brushing his teeth, Ash returns to the kitchen in a new outfit.
What are you wearing? Why a cape with the pants tucked into your socks?
Ash stops brushing and glares at his dad. His ear twitches. He spits on the floor.
Well, I guess he's just different.
Mr. Fox leaves. Later, he stands near an enormous tree that matches the real estate listing he clipped.
Oh, actually, there he is here. Oh, hey, Mr. Fox. Yes, here it is. This is the tree. Come on over. This is it. I'm going to call you back, Bob.
A weasel escorts him inside.
Obviously, it's first growth, indigenous, original dirt floor, good bark, skipping stone hearth, as you can see. Kylie, what did I tell you? I'm showing the property. You're not supposed to be here.
Oh, what time is it? I'm sorry.
This is Kylie. He's the super. He's a little,
What's in the bucket, Mr. Kylie?
See, you see what his eyes look like? Hey, Kylie? Kylie!
Huh? Just minnows. Try one?
Certainly, thank you.
Kylie, an opossum, hands Mr. Fox a minnow from a bucket.
That's not exactly an evergreen, is it? Aren't there any pines on the market on this side of the river?
But pines are pretty hard to come by in your price range.
What's that?
Mr. Fox looks out a window. Atop each of three hills sits a farm. Lettering around the farms identifies the one on the left as Bogus, the middle farm as Bunce, and the one on the right as Bean.
May I ask what you do for a living, Mr. Fox?
I used to steal birds, but now I'm a newspaper man.
Oh, sure. I've seen your byline.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
You good? You good?
Oh, and Kylie, thank you for the minnow. It was superb.
Now, a beaver dam with a door spans a river. Text reads Badger, Beaver, and Beaver, attorneys at law. At a desk inside, a badger in a suit reviews documents.
Don't buy this tree, Foxy. You're borrowing at 9.5 with no fixed rate, plus moving into the most dangerous neighborhood in the country for someone of your type of species.
You're exaggerating, Badger.
I'm sugarcoating it, man. This is Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, three of the meanest, nastiest, ugliest farmers in the history of this valley.
Really? Tell me about them.
All right. Walt Bogus is a chicken farmer, probably the most successful in the world. He weighs the same as a young rhinoceros. He eats 3 chickens every day for breakfast, lunch, supper, and dessert. That's 12 in total per diem. Nate Bunce is a duck and goose farmer. He's approximately the size of a pot-bellied dwarf, and his chin would be underwater in the shallow end of any swimming pool on the planet. His food is homemade donuts with smashed-up goose livers injected into them. Frank Bean is a turkey and apple farmer. He invented his own species of each. He lives on a liquid diet of strong alcoholic cider, which he makes from his apples.
Bean operates a cider-making machine.
He's as skinny as a pencil, as smart as a whip, and possibly the scariest man currently living.
The balding Bean sits in front of a wall of antlers.
The local human children sing a kind of eerie little rhyme about him. Here, listen to this.
Badger plays a recording.
And summation, I think you just gotta not do it, man. That's all.
I understand what you're saying, and your comments are valuable, but I'm gonna ignore your advice.
The cuss you are.
The cuss am I? Are you cussing with me?
No, you cussing with me?
Don't cuss and point
at me. You're gonna
me.
Cuss with somebody. You're not gonna cuss with me,
you little cuss.
From an office, a secretary watches the pair circle around the desk with their claws bared. Finally calmed, Badger and Mr. Fox sit.
Just by the tree.
Okay.
Take a left and then to the right. Set him down. There's another batch. Help that other guy over there. Lift with your legs, not with your back. Flip it sideways. Don't try to be a Superman here. All right, we got 2 circuits here. We got the yellow circuit and the green circuit. Let's just keep them separated. Hold it right
there. A team
there.
Of squirrels unloads furniture and preps the Fox family's new tree home.
Here we go. A little bit more. That looks good. Let's get that bottom structure really settled in. Let's bring in the side unit. Watch out. Try to be careful with the branches here, guys. Don't peel away the bark.
Later, settled into their new home, Mrs. Fox vacuums as Ash reads a book. Through an open window, Mr. Fox is greeted by Kylie.
Hi.
Mr. Fox raises a pair of binoculars to his eyes. In the distance, he spots a young male fox standing beside a suitcase, staring at a slip of paper. The boy lowers the paper. Around his neck, a sign reads, "Unaccompanied Minor." He stares at the tree for a moment, then approaches. Over the view, words appear. Cousin Christofferson arrives.
He's slightly younger, but he's a cuss of a lot bigger. That's just genetics, I guess. Ash has a littler body type.
Later, outside, Mrs. Fox paints a stormy landscape while Mr. Fox eats an apple. Ash and Christofferson stand clad in swimsuits on a branch overhead. Ash steals himself and jumps.
Watch this, Dad!
He plops into a large barrel of water.
Well, well. Good jump, Ash. Remember to keep your tail tucked.
Ash checks his tail. Mr. Fox examines his wife's painting.
Still painting thunderstorms, I see.
Do you still feel poor?
Less so.
He gazes up at Christofferson, who spreads his arms wide. Taking a deep inhale, the boy dives expertly to the water below. He lands with barely a splash.
Woohoo! Woo! Whoa! Look at that! This kid's a natural! I'm speechless, Christofferson!
Smiling politely, the boy shrugs. Nearby, Ash scowls. Glaring at his cousin and father, he angrily towel dries his fur.
Plus, he knows karate.
Mr. Fox sits down and grabs a newspaper. Inside, an advertisement touts 40% off bandit hats. Ash shivers in his towel.
Do you think I'm an athlete?
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I think I'm an athlete, and sometimes I feel like you guys don't see me that way.
What's the subtext here? Is he praying?
I think that's yoga.
How long is Christofferson supposed to stay with us?
Until your uncle gets better.
Right, but roughly how long do we plan to give him on that? Double pneumonia? Isn't really that big of a deal, is it?
Lower your voice, Ash.
Meditating nearby, Christofferson opens his eyes and glances at them. At night, Kylie and Mr. Fox stand on a porch atop the tree.
Who am I, Kylie?
Who, how? What now?
Why a fox? Why not a horse or a beetle or a bald eagle? I'm saying this more as, like, existentialism, you know? Who am I? And how can a fox ever be happy without you'll forgive the expression, a chicken in its teeth?
I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds illegal.
Here, put this bandit hat on.
Kylie dons a bandit hat.
Maybe you're medium. Take it off for a minute. And don't wear it around the house.
The opossum removes the hat.
And so it begins.
Inside, Christofferson stares up at a loft bed.
Do you mind if I slide my bedroll slightly out from under the train set? It's hard to sleep in that corkscrew position.
There's a lot of attitudes going on around here. Don't let me get one.
No, it's only just my spinal cord.
Sleep wherever you want, man. Here, take my bed. I'll crawl under the bookcase. Who cares if I get splinters in my ears?
Never mind.
Oh, you're gonna pout about it? Because I've had it up to here with the sad house guest routine.
Glaring down at his cousin from the bed, Ash's ear twitches. He shuts off a light, lays down, and turns on a flashlight to read.
Good night.
A train set rests atop a long table that sits just off the floor. Christofferson unrolls a bedroll beneath the table. Lying on his back, he scoots under the table and onto the roll. Ash points his flashlight toward the table, beneath which his cousin cries. Turning off the flashlight, Ash sits up and climbs down a bed ladder. He crouches down beside the train set and looks under the table at Christofferson for a moment before flipping on his toy train, letting it motor around the tracks. Christofferson scoots out from under the table and sits beside his cousin, watching the train. Outside, lights glow from the treehouse and the Bogus Bunsen bean farms in the distance. A train speeds across hedgerowed fields that separate the tree from the farms. Morning. Text reads, Mr. Fox has a plan. He uses a chair to barricade himself in a room with Kylie.
I used to do this professionally, and I was very successful at it. I had to get out of it for personal reasons, but I've decided to secretly do one last big job on the sly. I'm bringing you in as my secretary and personal assistant.
Okay.
This is actually kind of a big deal, so don't just say, okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
I'm going to tape this for my records, so don't make a lot of sounds. Meaning stop rocking.
Mr. Fox starts recording.
Master plan, phase one, side A. We'll start with Bogus's chicken house number one. His only security is a few old hunting beagles and a low stone wall. Now, a word about beagles. Never look a beagle directly in the eye. And if you...
Why not? Beagles aren't so tough.
Yeah? Well, first of all, one of these beagles has chronic rabies, which he's on medication for, and if you get bit by him, you have to get shots in your stomach for 6 months. And second, listen, I'm not gonna justify this to you. Just pay attention and stop interrupting me. I'm taping this. I picked some blueberries and laced each one with 10 milligrams of high-potency sleeping powder, enough to tranquilize a gorilla.
How do we make them eat it?
Beagles love blueberries. Remember, they aren't very smart, but they're incredibly paranoid, so always kill a chicken in one bite. One bite, get it?
Black and white concentric rings fill Kylie's eyes.
Are you listening to me? I look into your eyes, and I can't tell whether you're getting anything I'm saying.
Kylie shrugs. Meanwhile, Ash works at a lab table in an elementary chemistry classroom.
Magnesium?
A young fox stands beside him.
Magnesium.
Sorry.
She hands him magnesium.
Pipette!
Oh, sorry.
Potassium tri... What are you looking at? Oh, no.
He sees her eyeing Christofferson.
Why is your cousin such a wet sandwich?
I beg your pardon?
What's that mean?
That means I didn't understand what you just said. A wet sandwich?
Yeah, a wet sandwich. He's too short. He dresses like a girl. He's... different.
Are you a bully? You're starting to sound like a bully.
Watch this.
A beaver makes an explosion.
You just destroyed the whole experiment. You better extinguish this magnesium. Stand back.
Christofferson extinguishes his partner's mess.
Oh.
Oof. Tape on Ash's partner's goggles reads, Agnes.
I like your ears.
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I like your spots.
Really? I used to cover them up, but, you know.
You're supposed to be my lab partner.
I am.
No, you're not. You're disloyal.
A full moon sits in the sky above a wide nighttime view of a tree-topped cliffside. Over the view, text appears. Master Plan Phase 1, Bogus Chicken House Number 1. Mr. Fox and Kylie wear bandit hats as they hurry along the cliffside and cross the river near the beaver dam. Dashing through a field of tall grain, Mr. Fox stops and sniffs the air.
A few beagles, as we discussed, but we're ready for that.
They continue onward.
Yeah. Back in the old days, didn't they used to do a thing where if somebody saw a wolf, we would all...
Wolf? What wolf? Nothing? Never mind. Here comes a low stone wall. Not a problem.
They hop over the stone wall, but encounter a tall electric fence.
What the cuss? Where did this giant fence come from? We had a master plan.
What's this lightning bolt?
Lightning bolts adorn a sign.
That could mean maybe this fence might be electric.
Well, I just hope it doesn't mean thunder, because I have a phobia of that.
The sign reads, Danger of Death. Mr. Fox heads back toward the wall. Kylie follows him up a tree. They crawl out onto a branch that extends toward the fence, beyond which lies a beagle.
Watch this.
Mr. Fox shows Kylie a bag of blueberries. He loads one into a straw and blows into it. It launches a blueberry to the ground in front of the dog. The beagle gets up excitedly and trots over to the blueberry. The dog eats the berry. Its pupils turn to star symbols, and the dog plops to the ground. Mr. Fox grins. The fox and a possum drop down inside the fence perimeter.
Beagles love blueberries, didn't I tell you? The master plan's working again. Now, this is the tricky part. One of us has got to jump that barbed wire, slide under the tire spikes, and flip open the fence latch. Who's it going to be?
Not me.
You know who could do this part easily is Christofferson. That kid's like a professional Olympic level.
Why don't we run that way? There's no obstacles.
Kylie points out a clear path.
Yeah, that's better.
They dash to a chicken coop, open its pop door, and sneak inside, then climb ladders to a loft. Feathers fly. Holding two birds, Mr. Fox watches Kylie struggle to bite a chicken's neck.
I said one bite.
I'm trying. I have a different kind of teeth from you. I'm an opossum.
Give me that.
Mr. Fox takes the chicken.
That's so grisly. There's blood and everything.
Follow me.
They drop down from the loft and sneak back outside. Hiding behind a bale of hay, Mr. Fox launches more blueberries at a trio of beagles. One by one, the dogs drop. The path now clear, Mr. Fox and Kylie sprint back to the tall fence.
All right, what's the master escape plan?
All of a sudden, searchlights flood the farm.
Follow me again.
As they climb the fence, electricity zaps through them, showing their skeletons. They make it outside the fence unscathed. Walt Boggins and four armed men rush to the fence.
Give me that.
Bogus takes a spare weapon from one of the men. He checks if it's loaded, then spots something on the ground. He finds a blueberry, pops it into his mouth, and chews. He drops.
All right, let's hit the five and dime on the way home. We need to make some fake price tags and wrap these chickens in wax paper so it looks like we got it from the butcher shop.
A light turns on inside a pantry. Chicken sits on a shelf.
Hmm.
Mrs. Fox examines sale tags on the bird.
Where'd you get this chicken?
I picked it up at the Five and Dime last night on my way back.
It's got a Bogus Farms tag around its ankle.
Huh. Must have escaped from there before I bought it.
As she carries the chicken through the kitchen, her husband nervously hurries to an open window.
Psst.
Kylie looks in.
It's Bunce tonight. He's got a refrigerated smokehouse with 100 geese.
I thought you said we were only doing one last big job.
We are, but it's
Not done yet. It's a triple header.
A wide view shows the treehouse at night. As Mr. Fox and Kylie sneak away, text appears. Bunce's refrigerated smokehouse, master plan phase 2. Later in a security office, Mr. Bunce reads a magazine and listens to headphones. On monitors behind him, Mr. Fox picks a lock and sneaks into a refrigerated smokehouse with Kylie. As they sneak away carrying bags over their shoulders, Mr. Fox pulls a chain, which drops a cage over a sleeping dog. The dog awakes with confusion. The fox and a possum return to the treehouse at daybreak. Later, Mrs. Fox opens the pantry to find it completely stocked.
Huh.
Let's see some hustle.
Coach, we don't have whack bat where I'm from. What are the rules?
There's no whack bat on the other side of the river?
No, we mostly just run grass sprints or play acorns.
Huh. Well, it's real simple. Basically, there's 3 grabbers, 3 taggers, 5 twig runners, and the player at whack bat. The center tagger lights a pine cone, chucks it over the basket, and the whack batter tries to hit the cedar stick off the cross rock. Then the twig runners dash back and forth until the pine cone burns out and the umpire calls hot box. Finally, at the end, you count up however many score downs it adds up to and divide that by 9.
Got it.
Go in for Ash. Substitution! Ash, come out. You need a breather.
What? Come out? What? I still feel good, Coach. Let me finish this 8th.
No. Come on. Step out. Step out. Let's go.
Christofferson replaces Ash in the game.
Am I getting better, Coach?
Well, you're sure as cuss not getting any worse.
Really? I mean, you think I could end up being as good as my dad if I keep practicing?
Your dad? Your dad was probably the best whack bat player we ever had in this school.
The coach, an albino river otter, points to a trophy. A plaque on its side shows the name F.F. Fox.
No, you don't want to have to compare yourself to that.
No, but I think I have some of the same raw natural talent, don't you?
You're improving. Let's put it like that.
Ash gazes out at the playing field, where the bullying beaver plays center tagger and lights a pine cone with a match. Christofferson taps a spiked, flat-sided bat onto a home plate, adjusts his grip on the bat's handle, then raises the bat. At the center of the elongated hexagonal field, the beaver winds up and pitches the pinecone to Christofferson, who hits it past the far end of the field. The fox races to the cedar stick, knocks it off the cross rock, and returns to the plate.
Divide that by 9, please.
Yeah!
Woo!
That's the first time this kid's ever swung a whack bat? He really is your father's nephew, isn't he?
Not by blood.
No?
He's from my mother's side.
Oh, yeah.
Ash spits on the ground.
What's that stand for?
Agnes holds a sign.
Huh? It's for Pep.
Pep. It's a K.
Come on now. Look alive. Attaboy.
Ash stares her down.
We're going steady.
That night, Kylie dines with the Fox family. On the table sits a trophy.
What's that?
What? What, this? Oh, that's nothing. That's just some old trophy I won for being an athlete.
I'm supposed to cover this book party at some animal's nest in a tobacco field down the hill. So me and Kylie are going to hop over there and give it a whirl. Wait up.
What's the book?
Some memoir. I'll get him to sign you a copy. Dinner was pitch perfect.
Kylie leaves with Mr. Fox. Text appears. Bean's secret cider cellar. Master plan phase 3. Outside, the fox and a possum walk a woodsy trail.
I spotted a couple of broken burglar bars underneath the back door to Bean's secret cider cellar.
We're breaking into Bean's house?
Cellar.
Where he lives?
Where he keeps the cider.
Below where he lives.
Where'd you come from? Will you go back to the tree and do your homework?
I want to help you steal some cider.
We're going to a book party and keep your mouth shut about any cider because no one ever said that. Now get out of here. But nothing. You're going to get me in a lot of trouble. Besides, you're too little and uncoordinated.
Ash's ear twitches with anger. He spits.
1, 2, 3.
Clenching his fists, Ash leaves.
Where the cuss does that kid get off? Can you believe that? How'd he get tipped off?
Mr. Fox and Kylie sneak across a road between 2 fenced-in fields.
You think he's going to tell on us?
The concentric rings return to Kylie's eyes.
Before we go any further, from now on, can you give me some kind of a signal once in a while just so I know any of this is getting through to you?
Kylie raises a hand.
Is that it? Okay.
All right. There's another one.
Good. You made it. Anybody see it?
I don't think so.
Here, put this bandit hat on.
Mr. Fox gives a hat to Christofferson.
I must say, I'm pleased to be invited, but I'm not sure I should be doing this, Uncle Foxy.
Why not?
Because I don't like to be dishonest with people.
Well, just keep your mouth shut and it won't be a problem.
Yeah, but I don't think you should come with us either.
We're not taking a boat.
They race past Bean's orchard and stop alongside a building.
You know, one time this wolf I saw...
Wolf? What's with all the wolf talk? Can we give it a rest for once?
Mr. Fox pries open a grate beneath words on the building that read, Processing Fermentation. His accomplices follow him past the grate, down a chute, and into a bin of apples. They climb out and see a room of massive shelves stocked with bottles of cider.
Look at all this apple juice.
Apple juice? Apple juice? We didn't come here for apple juice. This is some of the strongest, finest alcoholic cider money can buy. Or they could even be stolen. It burns in your throat.
boils in your stomach. It tastes almost exactly like pure melted gold.
Atop a shelf, a rat in a red and white striped sweater casually reclines against an open cider bottle. The rat lights a match, then extinguishes it in its mouth.
Y'all are trespassing now. Illegally.
He sips the cider through a long, curly straw. On his sweater, a patch reads, Bean Security.
Around these parts, we don't take kindly to cider poachers.
You've aged badly, rat.
You're getting a little long in the tooth yourself, partner.
The rat snaps his fingers. Mr. Fox sees the patch on his sweater.
Bean Security? What? Why are you wearing that badge? What is it?
It's my job.
The rat springs to his feet in a martial arts pose, grabs an overhead pipe, swings around the pipe, and lands on the ground. He flicks a knife open and slowly crosses his arms. Kylie dashes back to the apple bin. Squaring off with the rat, Mr. Fox raises his fists.
How's your old lady doing?
Do you refer to my wife?
She was the town tart in her day. Wild and footloose and pretty as a mink stole.
Is that true?
Of course not. I mean, certainly she lived. We all did. It was a different time. Let's not use a double standard. She marched against them.
But town tart?
Shut up.
The rat lunges. Mr. Fox dodges aside.
That was close, rat. Be careful.
Oh, I'm as careful as a...
A sound distracts the rat, and Christofferson yanks a rug out from under his feet. The rat falls into a cabinet built into the floor. The lid slams shut just as a door to the storage room opens. The foxes scramble out of sight. Mr. Fox hides on a shelf behind bottles of cider. Feet take a few steps down a metal staircase, and a pair of lights are flipped on. The feet kick aside a pebble and continue downward, revealing their owner, a gray-haired woman with stern features.
How many jars should I bring up, Franklin?
I don't know, two, I guess.
You drank three yesterday, though.
All right, take three.
She grabs the bottle in front of Mr. Fox, who poses like one of the bottles. She doesn't notice the fox or the floor cabinet's rattling lid. Hiding in the bin of apples, Kylie and Christofferson's ears tremble.
Nope, too splenty.
She returns a bottle to the shelf in front of Mr. Fox, shuts off the lights, and leaves.
Oh my gosh, is she blind?
I think she might have astigmatism, or possibly a cataract of some form. Anyway, her eyes don't see well.
The thieves duck back into their hiding spots as a door at the top of the stairs opens, revealing the silhouette of Frank Bean. He stands there for a moment, staring into the dark cellar, then swings the door shut.
What I tell you, this kid's a natural, am I right?
The bandits escape with stolen cider. Later, all three farmers sit on a dimly lit porch, an emergency meeting.
Aye, so good of you to come. Lovely to see you. You're both looking splendid. How have you been, Walter? In good health, I trust. Nathan, all's well? Wonderful.
Frank Bean sits in the shadows.
Any fox problems?
Are you joking?
It's horrible.
We're miserable.
He's laughing at us.
It's humiliating.
We're furious.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Gripping a foil-wrapped chicken leg, Walt Bogus sits at a bistro table with Nate Bunce, who holds onto a donut. Bean sips a drink.
Perhaps we ought to kill him.
Well, that seems rather obvious.
He's too sneaky.
Ah, right, of course. He's very clever, isn't he? Might be a bit difficult, I suppose.
Bean springs up from his chair and fires a weapon at lights on the porch and on nearby buildings, eliminating each with precision. He and the others are left in darkness. He turns on a flashlight.
But I've already figured out where this fox lives, and tomorrow night we're going to camp in the bushes, wait for him to come out of the hole in his tree, and shoot the castle smithereens. How's that, grubby fellas?
I see why not.
Meanwhile, the lights are off in the kitchen at the treehouse. The kitchen door opens. Mr. Fox creeps inside, followed by Kylie, and pads quietly through the kitchen.
Another book party?
Mrs. Fox enters from an adjacent room.
Oh. I didn't see you sitting in the dark over there. Yeah, no, actually, there's a fire. I just got the call. They said maybe it's arson. I got to interview the marshal and see what's...
Kylie, is he telling the truth?
I don't want to be put in the middle of this.
Thanks, Kylie.
Why is he wearing that bandit hat?
She points to her nephew, who lifts his hat off his face.
His ears were cold. He's not with us. Go back to bed.
Christofferson leaves.
If what I think is happening is happening... It better not be.
Outside, a hollow at the base of the treehouse's trunk illuminates for a moment as a door opens and closes. A short distance away, a person raises their pinky into the air from inside a bush. Text appears, the shooting. Near the entrance to his house, Mr. Fox sniffs the air, then dons his bandit mask. He turns to Kylie beside him.
Nice job covering for me. Next time you...
They look around. The fox's ears turn side to side. Bunce, Bean, and Bogus watch from a hiding spot in the bush. Mr. Fox sniffs again. Images above his head show a donut, an apple, and a chicken leg.
All three!
Kill him!
Mr. Fox and Kylie run for the house.
God.
The farmers fire weapons at the pair. They reload. The view pans away from the men to a furry object on the ground. A flashlight illuminates the object, revealing it to be the tail of a fox detached from its owner. Bean picks up the tail and examines it with his flashlight.
We got the tail, but we miss the fox.
He grabs a radio from a belt around his waist.
Petey, sorry to wake you. Can I trouble you to dash out here right away, which shall we say 3 shovels, 2 pickaxes, 500 rounds of ammunition, and a bottle of apple cider.
Mrs. Fox sews up her husband.
It'll grow back, won't it?
Tails don't grow back.
Tails don't grow back?
Mm-mm, except for lizards.
Tails don't grow back. I'm going to be tailless for the rest of my life.
Well, anyway, it's not half as bad as double pneumonia, right? I mean, his dad's got 1 foot in the grave and 3 feet on a banana peel. It's a lot worse than just a...
Christofferson bounces an acorn off the walls and into a cup he holds.
Excuse me, everyone. I'm going to go meditate for 30 minutes.
You have got 29 minutes to come up with a proper apology.
Me? Me have an apology? He gets a bandit hat? He just got here. He got a bandit hat? Where's my bandit hat? Why didn't I get shot at? It's because you think I'm no good at anything! Well, maybe you're right. Thanks.
Ash storms out of the room.
Told you not to bring him.
The foxes lie in bed.
Why the cuss didn't I listen to my lawyer? At this point, we'll be lucky if we can flip this tree for half of what we've already sunk into it. I won't be able to sleep on my back for 6 weeks. And on my stomach, I feel congested. Why the cuss didn't I listen to my lawyer?
Because you don't listen to anybody.
Mr. Fox sits up.
What was that?
What? I said...
Wake up, everybody. They're digging us out.
They'll kill the children.
Over my dead body, they will.
That's what I'm saying. You'd be dead, too, in that scenario.
Well, I'm arguing against that.
What are you talking
about? Why are you yelling
at
me?
Stop, stop, stop! You say one thing, she says another, and it all changes back again.
Cracks snake across the ceiling. The foxes, their son, nephew, and Kylie watch nervously as the ceiling begins to crumble. Mr. Fox darts around the room, hopping onto furniture.
I've got it. There's not a moment to lose. Why didn't I think of this sooner?
Think of what?
We've been trapped before.
In a wide side view through the ground below, they dig through layers of soil and sediment. They tunnel down a few layers, then turn sideways and exit the view. The view continues its descent. 1 fox hour later, in dirty pajamas, they catch their breath inside a cavern. Christofferson meditates.
I think it's time for me to give us a pep talk and explain some things. A very long time ago...
May I have a word with you privately?
Well, we're in a hole here.
Just on the other side of this mineral deposit. Follow me.
Mr. Fox follows his wife into a corridor of shimmering minerals.
I'm gonna lose my temper now.
When?
Right now.
Well, when?
She swats at his face. Gingerly, he touches a scratch she left on his cheek.
12 fox years ago, you made a promise to me while we were caged inside that fox trap that if we survived, you would never steal another chicken, turkey, goose, duck, or squab, whatever they are. And I believed you. Why? Why did you lie to me?
Because I'm a wild animal.
You are also a husband and a father.
I'm trying to tell you the truth about myself.
I don't care about the truth about yourself. This story is too predictable.
Predictable, really? What happens in the end?
In the end, we all die. Unless you change.
She walks away. The next morning, the hill atop which the treehouse sits now has a gouge on its side. Within the gouge, Bogus sits down in an armchair as Bunce and Beam climb out of a nearby hole. On the ground, Bean finds a painting of a lightning strike.
Petey, listen, run down to the rental department at Malloy Consolidated and place an order for, shall we say, 1 Mighty Max, 1 Junior Spitfire, and a long-range Tornado 375 Turbo. For immediate delivery.
The name Malloy brandishes 3 excavators that barrel down a road. Mr. Fox wakes in the cavern as text reads, "The Terrible Tractors." The others rouse to the sound of the rumbling overhead. They act quickly, digging another tunnel. Above ground, Frank Bean operates one of the excavators. Chuckling maniacally, he tugs an overhead control. Bogus and Bunce operate the other 2 machines. Gauges on a console show an excavator operating at maximum capacity. The three machines converge on the treehouse. Below ground, Ash digs alongside his dad.
Ash, are you mad at me? I understand if you are, and I'm sorry. I wouldn't have ever involved your cousin if I'd realized you'd feel this way. It was only ever just because he's kind of a natural. I mean, look at him dig. Anyway, I'm sorry if you're feeling...
You know what? I'm going to spit dirt in my ears. Yeah, that's better. I can't hear you now, but keep talking.
As the day proceeds into night, the excavators dig through the hillside, uprooting the tree from its perch until all that remains is a large crater. Finally, the excavators shut down for the night. Drawings of animals adorn the walls of a dimly lit cave where Ash reads a comic book and Christofferson meditates.
I don't have beagle ticks, by the way.
Well, me neither. Whoever said we had beagle ticks, by the way?
Apparently that's what you've been telling everyone. Beagle ticks and pelt lice.
I never said that. And you're misquoting me. Or somebody is, but I'm gonna get to the bottom of it.
Look, Ash, we may or may not ever see the light of day again, but I really like Agnes, and I think she likes me.
Great. Well, she's a free agent. What do I care?
Well, then why are you dead set on...
Can I ask you a question?
You may.
What's the point of sitting on the floor with your legs twisted into a pretzel talking to yourself for an hour and 45 minutes? It's weird.
My father and I first started practicing meditation together when I was...
Yeah, well, that's great, but I'd worry more about what that does for your reputation than whether or not you have beagle ticks or not.
I don't, nor pelt lice.
On a ledge above the boys lie the adults.
One of those slovenly farmers is probably wearing my tail as a necktie by now.
You're paranoid, Foxy.
Farmer, thank you. Correct me if I'm misreading the data. You've successfully destroyed the scenery, but the alleged farmer...
Look at Dad's tie.
What will you three prominent farmers do now?
Well, Dan, I can tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to let him go.
A boy watches Frank Bean being interviewed on TV. The farmer wears Mr. Fox's tail as a necktie. Meanwhile, at the crater, a man in coveralls flips a switch on a timer connected to explosives, then sprints for safety behind a wall of sandbags.
Stand clear, please. Stand clear, everyone. Contact!
He connects two lengths of wire, exploding the crater into an even larger one. The smoke clears, revealing a hole at the center of the crater. The shadows of Bogus, Bean, and Bunce approach. Bunce shines a flashlight at the hole.
Bogus, how many men have you got work on your farm?
35.
Bunce?
36.
I've got 37, that's 35, 45, divided by 2. That's 108 altogether.
Bean flings a plastic cup to the ground.
Peter, drop everything and assemble all 108 members of our entire three combined workforces. We're going to starve them out and then kill them, starting in, shall we say, 15 minutes.
The siege begins.
An estimated 108 snipers are currently in position, surrounding the demolished Fox residence. Any local animals would appear to be trapped underground without provisions of any kind at this point. If I had a crystal ball, I'd predict a fairly grisly outcome to the situation. But we'll stay on the scene, watching closely as events continue to unfold.
This is going to be a total cluster cuss for everybody.
3 days later, 2.5 Fox weeks, Bean, Bunce, and Bogus sit at a table in a camper trailer that overlooks the crater.
How long can a fox go without food or water?
Well, I can only answer as an opossum, but I don't think I can last more than another couple of hours before I get completely dehydrated and starve to death.
What's that?
Below ground, the foxes and Kylie watch something poke a small hole through the wall. Wind blows into the cavern, extinguishing a lantern Mr. Fox holds.
Dad?
Not a sound.
Darkness fills the view. Mr. Fox relights the lantern. Badger, Weasel, a mole, a beaver in a business suit, and Ash's bully stand before them.
You scared the cuss out of us!
Badger growls.
A lot of good animals are probably gonna die because of you! We've been digging in circles for 3 days. Half the woods have been obliterated. Nobody can get out. Right now, my wife's huddled at the bottom of the flint mine with no food, no water, and 27 starving animal brats.
I just want to see a little sunshine.
But you're nocturnal, Phil. Your eyes barely even open on a good day.
I'm sick of your double talk. We have rights.
We don't like you, and we hate your dad. Now grab some of that mud, chew it in your mouth, and swallow it.
I'm not gonna eat mud.
Cuss, yeah, you are.
Ash's bully smushes mud on Ash's face. One at a time, Christofferson removes a pair of yellow shoes from his feet.
Don't do that.
Why'd you take your shoes off?
So I don't break your nose when I kick it.
The fox delivers a series of kicks, jabs, and elbows to his cousin's bully before tossing him to the ground. Crying, the beaver gets up and walks away.
I can fight my own fights.
No, you can't.
Those farmers aren't going to quit until they've got you and every member of your family nailed upside down to a bloody stick with your eyes gorged out.
Mr. Fox raises his hands defensively.
This is getting a little too personal. Give me a minute.
He walks to a far wall of the cavern and mutters to himself.
Vanity. Magic of the vanity. Take one of the two flames, you hear it's cross back and run forward. Then he comes up on the top and comes around and thing. I've got an idea.
What is it?
It could be a good one.
Lay it on us.
It might save our lives.
Say the idea!
All right, let's try it.
He touches his wife's shoulders.
Go to the Flint mine, tell Mrs. Badger et al. That help is on the way.
Is help on the way?
I sure as cuss hope so.
Mrs. Fox squats down beside Ash, licks the mud from his face, and spits it out.
Ash, I know what it's like to feel.
She waves her hands by her face.
Different.
I'm not different. Am I?
We all are. Him especially. But there's something kind of fantastic about that, isn't there?
She points at his dad, then gently touches Ash's face and hurries away.
Not to me. I prefer to be an athlete.
Gentlemen, this time we must dig in a very special direction.
Mr. Fox places his hands against the cavern wall and feels around.
I gotta kind of feel out the vibe. Begin.
A wide view cuts through the earth. Topside, the excavators sit dormant beside the camper trailer. Tents and portable toilets line the crater. Underground, Mr. Fox and his team dig a tunnel away from the worksite. One human hour later. Mr. Fox holds up his hands and the group comes to a stop. Mr. Fox points at the ground above his head. The others watch as he begins digging upward. The others follow, emerging inside an enormous chicken coop. A name on a far wall reads, Bogus.
I hit it slap in the middle. Do you get how incredible this is?
He turns on his portable radio.
About a handsome little fox, let me sing you folks a yarn.
The animals dance excitedly. Around a campfire, farm workers play an array of instruments.
Was a splendid little fella, full of wit and grace and charm.
A bearded man with glasses sings and plays a banjo emblazoned with the name Petey.
Well, like any little critter needing victuals for his midlands, well, he stole and he cheated and he lied just to survive.
Mr. Fox and the other animals continue tunneling. They arrive inside a cider warehouse at Bean's farm. Another round of dancing ensues. Then they bore their way into a storage room at Bunce's farm and dance some more.
Take a little tick now to color in the scene, cause the valley lift the yoga scene with Bogus, Bunce, and Bean. Now these three crazy jackies had a hero on the run, shot the tail off the cuss with a fox shooting gun. But that stylish little fox was as clever as a whip, took as quick as a gopher, that was Happer-rack-a-tail. Now those three farmers sit, where there's a hold was once a hill.
The animals make their way back into the tunnels with food and supplies.
And as far as I can reckon, they're a sitting up there still singing zippy zappy yappy yo.
What are you singing, Petey?
Bean approaches the campfire.
Just making it up as I went along, really.
That's just weak songwriting. You wrote a bad song, Petey.
Bean flicks a lit cigarette at Petey and storms away into the darkness. Badger's Flint Mine Refugee Camp. In the mine, Mrs. Fox checks Agnes's eyes, a rabbit hangs linens to dry, and a badger in a lab coat examines a child. Wide-eyed, they look to see Mr. Fox and his team burst through a wall of the mine with a trove of supplies.
We took everything!
They took everything? Let me call you back, Petey.
Inside the camper, Bean hangs up a phone.
Well, they could be anywhere by now.
They're digging right under our feet.
Well, in a sense, we've only made matters worse.
We should have stayed out of it.
Seething, Bean goes on a rampage, upturning a table, tearing down curtains, destroying electronic equipment, and hurling a chair to the floor. Bunce and Bogus stare at him dismayed. Bean storms past them to the other end of the trailer, knocking items off a set of shelves. He flings open the trailer door and stomps outside, where he kicks a rusty barrel. He snags up a bicycle Petey was repairing and hurls it into the distance, then grabs a wrench off the ground. He's about to throw it when he sees his cider brewing equipment on a table.
I've got an idea.
Later, candles glow in the now festively decorated mine. Phil the Mole plays a piano as others prepare a meal.
I'm still not getting a signal. Is anybody getting any reception?
I don't have any signal, but I haven't had it. I've had a problem.
Crisp up those ducks. Drag those chickens. Slow them down just a little bit. We're a little ahead. Where are the apples? Still now? Do you still have them raw? We'll slice them up. Let's get them in the pan.
I can imagine how painful, even just emotionally, that must be for you.
Well, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Oh, but Foxy, how humiliating. Having your whole table blown clean off.
Can we drop it?
Ash spots Christofferson talking to Agnes beside a punch bowl and walks over.
Yeah, they're really good, sweet, and nice.
Hey. They say you're a natural. True or false? Answer the question.
True, I guess.
Correct. Get out of here, Agnes. I need to have a private word with Christofferson.
Wait, just a minute. She doesn't...
I don't mind. I'm not gonna talk to the girl.
Listen to me. I just had a brainstorm for something fantastic I've got to do, but I can't do it alone.
I'm not interested.
Hear me out.
No thanks. I think foxes from your side of the family take unnecessary risks.
Only because they got the guts in their blood. And so do we. Was I a bit rude? To Agnes?
Yeah.
I should probably say something, shouldn't I? I'll say something to her in a minute.
Ash serves punch to his cousin.
What's the brainstorm?
In a nutshell?
Uh-huh.
We're gonna steal back my dad's tail.
Whoa.
Meanwhile, debris falls from a roof of an underground tunnel, and a fire hose drops into view.
Okay, Chief.
Here we go.
Above ground, firefighters stand at a fire truck with a hose connected to it. Another hose runs from a tanker truck bearing the words Beans Alcoholic Cider. Badger rises at the head of a long table where the other animals sit.
Well, it took a near catastrophe for all of you to finally take me up on my offer to have you over to the Flint Mine for dinner. But I guess we have...
I'm sorry, maybe my invitation got lost in the mail. Does anybody know what this badger's talking about? No, but Clive's right, in all seriousness. Excuse me, B.
Mr. Fox gets up.
I guess we do have these three ugly farmers to thank for one thing. Reminding us to be thankful and aware of each other. I'm gonna say it again. Aware.
Elsewhere, a floor grate rises. Ash peeks his head out and props open the grate. Christofferson rises from the hole beside him and turns on a flashlight. The boys stare at Mr. Bean's kitchen. Everything's off except for the TV.
I don't feel safe.
That's because we're not. You should probably put your bandit hat on now. Personally, I don't have one, but I modified this tube sock.
They don their hats. Ash's is a sock with holes cut out.
We look good.
Yeah, we do. Now, where would you keep a prized tail if you collected them if that was your hobby?
I'd probably hang it over the mantelpiece.
Right, good. In fact, what's that smell?
They spy a plate of cookies atop a cookbook on the table.
Ever tasted one of Mrs. Bean's famous nutmeg ginger apple snaps?
Well, how do you do?
The boys climb out and scurry to the table. Ash holds his hand over the plate of nutmeg ginger apple snaps.
They are still warm.
The cousins stuff their faces with food.
Uh-oh, we got it wrong.
What?
It's not over the mantelpiece.
Christofferson points.
The necktie.
On the TV, Mr. Bean is on the news. The boys freeze as the gray-haired woman, Mrs. Bean, enters the room and flips on the lights. She drops some things from her pockets and a bag of groceries on a table by the door. She turns, glancing right past the boys, and walks to an adjacent hallway that leads into the rest of the house. She checks for something in the drawers of the cabinet.
Shh, shh.
Let's go.
Hang on, hold this.
What?
Two more.
She's there.
She can't see.
She returns, wielding a pair of knives. The boys run. Back in the Flint Mine, Mr. Fox uncorks a bottle.
Look at each other. Here we are. Wow. Now, I've already had too much to drink, and I'm feeling sentimental, but I'm going to say something anyway, which nobody wants to admit, but I think is probably true. We beat them. We beat those farmers, and now we're triumphantly eating their roasted chicken, their sizzling duck, their succulent turkey, their foie gras, the... Where'd the boys go?
Where?
Ash?
Boys?
Christofferson!
Ash drops into a tunnel.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy. I can't believe what's just happening there. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's go. Where are we?
No one follows him. On the floor, he finds one of his cousin's shoes.
Christofferson?
What am I hearing again, baby? What's happening? Am I still paranoid?
From overhead, a drop of liquid falls into Mr. Fox's glass. He takes a drink.
Cider.
From one of the tunnels into the mine, a torrent of cider rushes into the room, sweeping Mr. Fox and the others away. End over end, they tumble as they and their belongings are flushed through the tunnels. They're ejected through a drainage pipe onto the floor of a dreary metallic room.
What just happened? Something with cider. That was dangerous. Is anyone hurt?
We're all hurt. My entire flint mine just got demolished.
Apple juice. Apple juice flood.
Let's do a head count. Everybody pick a buddy. Where'd the boys go? Ash!
Ash!
Christofferson! Ash!
I'm here!
Ash, who's your buddy?
Christofferson.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Why not?
I lost him.
You lost him?
I lost him.
Where were you?
I was in the kitchen. We were trying to find the necktie.
What are you talking about?
It's my fault.
Oh, no. Where did you get that nutmeg ginger apple snapped? And why are you wearing that fake bandit hat?
We went to steal back your tail.
Christofferson! Mrs. Bean holds Christofferson.
Wrap this wet little mutt in a newspaper and put him in a box with some holes punched in the top.
There's only one way out of this sewer, but the manhole cover's closed and there's a station wagon parked on it, which means we're permanently stuck down here.
You still think we beat him, Foxy?
Mr. Fox looks at the others, then glumly walks away. On her own, Agnes sniffles. Later, Mrs. Fox finds her husband standing on a catwalk that runs alongside a waterfall within the sewer.
Badger's right. These farmers aren't going to quit until they catch me. I shouldn't have lied to your face. I shouldn't have fallen off the wagon and started secretly stealing chickens on the sly. I shouldn't have pushed these farmers so far and tried to embarrass them and cuss with their heads. I enjoyed it, but I shouldn't have done it. And now there's only one way out. Maybe if I hand myself over and let them kill me, stuff me, and hang me over their mantelpiece.
You'll do no such thing.
Darling, maybe they'll let everyone else live.
Oh, why'd you have to get us into this, Foxy?
I don't know, but I have a possible theory. I think I have this thing where I need everybody to think I'm the greatest, the quote-unquote fantastic Mr. Fox. And if they aren't completely knocked out and dazzled and kind of intimidated by me, then I don't feel good about myself. Foxes traditionally like to court danger, hunt prey, and outsmart predators, and that's what I'm actually good at. I think at the end of the day, I'm just...
I know. We're wild animals.
I guess we always were. I promise you, if I had all this to do over again, I'd have never let you down. It was always more fun when we did it together anyway.
They kiss and embrace.
I love you, Felicity.
I love you too. But I shouldn't have married you.
Head hung, he continues through a sewer tunnel and finds Ash sitting alone beside a steam vent. He exits the tunnel and takes a seat beside his son.
Did I ever tell you about the time I learned we were going to have a cub?
In the fox trap.
Right. We were at gunpoint, and your mother...
Says she's pregnant.
Let me tell it, okay? I had no idea how we were going to get out of this jam, and then it hit me. What do foxes do better than any other animal?
Dig.
You're stepping on my lines.
Right, keep telling it.
So we dug, and the whole time I put paw over paw, scooping dirt and pebbles with your mother digging like crazy beside me, I kept wondering, who is this little boy going to be?
Or girl.
Or girl, right, because at that point we didn't know. Ash, I'm so glad he was you. It's not your fault. It's mine.
He cups his son's head in his hands and looks him in the eye. As his father leaves, tears spill from Ash's eyes. Mr. Fox approaches a ladder beside a sign that reads, Street Level. With items from his suit jacket, he makes a small white flag. He looks out at the other animals for a moment, then grabs the ladder. Over his shoulder, he glances back at them.
Goodbye.
The others watch him climb away up the ladder.
Well, I guess we should probably split into a certain number of groups and start doing something, right?
Elsewhere, Christofferson stands blindfolded inside a small plastic apple crate that's secured shut with a padlock.
Could I have a glass of water?
His cage sits on a box in an attic. No one's there.
Excuse me.
Christofferson? Hello? Can you hear us?
Animals search the sewer.
Christofferson!
They got the boy.
Rat drops to the ground a short distance away.
They want to trade the son for his papa.
He tosses an envelope to Badger. Inside is a ransom note.
Why'd they write this in letters cut out of magazines?
To protect their identities. Oh, right. But then why'd they sign their names? Plus, we already knew who they were because they're trying to kill us.
Mr. Fox, we have your son. If you ever want to see him alive again...
You took the wrong fox.
Rat wheels around to see Ash behind him.
I'm his son.
I can see the resemblance.
Rat hoists his hands up, ready to fight.
How's that?
Attempting to file through a grate to the outside, Mr. Fox stops, hearing the scuffle. Rat grabs Ash and flings him against a wall. He strikes a series of poses, then goes after Ash again. Holding a canvas bag, he advances toward the boy, snapping his fingers right and left.
Stop, man! Come on, stop!
From behind, Rat's grabbed by Felicity, who flings him to the ground and snaps a piece of chain taut.
Woo-wee! Look at you, girl.
Rat pops up onto his feet.
You're still as fine-looking as a creme brulee.
Am I being flirted with by a psychotic rat?
He flicks his hips and his knife pops out of his pocket. He grabs it, then lunges, punching past Felicity and Weasel, and grabs Ash. Rat stuffs him in the bag and grabs Felicity.
Excuse me.
May I cut in?
Mr. Fox bares his teeth. The rat tosses Felicity aside, kicks Weasel out of the way, and launches himself at Mr. Fox, knocking them both past an open gate with a sign that reads, Danger of Death. Lights flicker and zap as they tussle. Rat gets a shock that shows his skeleton, and Mr. Fox is able to free Ash from the canvas bag. He looks the boy over and checks he's okay. On the floor, Rat's legs twitch. They stop moving. Mr. Fox lowers to his knees beside Rat.
The boy's locked in an apple crate on top of a gun locker in the attic of Bean Annex.
Would you have told me if I didn't kill you first?
Never.
All these wasted years. What were you looking for, Rat?
He's trying to say something, Dad.
Cider.
A view looks up at the other animals as they lean over him.
Here you are, Rat. A beaker of Bean's finest secret cider.
Mr. Fox scoops a handful of cider off the floor. Rat laps it from his hands.
Like melted gold.
His red pupils become black X marks in his eyes.
He redeemed himself.
Redemption? Sure. But in the end, he's just another dead rat in a garbage pail behind a Chinese restaurant.
Mr. Fox picks up Rat's torso and cradles it in his arms, then gently places Rat into a channel of water. Mr. Fox and the others watch him float away.
He went bananas.
Yes, he did. My suicide mission's been canceled. We're replacing it with a go-for-broke rescue mission.
A go-for-broke rescue mission.
In a way, I'm almost glad that flood interrupted us because I don't like the toast I was giving. I'm gonna start over.
Standing on a mound of rubble, Mr. Fox turns on his portable radio.
When I look down this table with the exquisite feast set before us, I see two terrific lawyers, a skilled pediatrician, a wonderful chef, a savvy real estate agent, an excellent tailor, a crack accountant, a gifted musician, pretty good minnow fisherman, and possibly the best landscape painter working on the scene today. Maybe a few of you might even read my column from time to time. Who knows? I tend to doubt it. I also see a room full of wild animals. Wild animals with true natures and pure talents. Wild animals with scientific-sounding Latin names that mean something about our DNA. Wild animals, each with his own strengths and weaknesses due to his or her species. Anyway, I think it may very well be all the beautiful differences among us that might just give us the tiniest glimmer of a chance of saving my nephew and letting me make it up to you for getting us into this crazy whatever it is. I don't know. It's just a thought. Thank you for listening. Cheers, everyone.
He pretends to sip from an imaginary glass, then toss it to the ground.
Let's eat!
Confused, the others look at Kylie.
What? Well, I was just playing along with the bit he was doing it.
Will you join me?
I will.
Felicity raises her hand.
All right. Yes.
Thank you. All right, let's start planning. Who knows shorthand? Great. Linda, Lutra Lutra, you got some dry paper? Here we go. Mole, top of Europea, what do you got?
I can see in the dark.
That's incredible. We can use that, Linda.
Got it.
Rabbit, Oryctolagus caniculus.
I'm fast.
You bet you are, Linda.
Got it.
Beaver, Castor Fiber.
I can chew through wood.
Amazing, Linda.
Got it.
Badger! Millis! Millis!
Demolitions expert.
What? Says when?
Explosions! Flames! Burning thing!
Demolitions expert! Okay, Linda.
Got it.
Weasel! Mustela Navalas!
Stop yelling!
All right! Ha! Woohoo! All right, Ash, you get these little kids organized and put together some kind of KP unit or something to keep this sewer clean. It's good for morale.
Done. What's KP?
I think it means janitors.
Ash's ear twitches and he spits.
Hey, hey, me, y'all over here. Hey, I want to go with you too. I want to fight.
Good, fabulous, Microtus Pennsylvanicus.
A mouse with a measuring tape around his neck chuckles excitedly.
Wait, I didn't get a job yet, or a Latin name. What's my strength?
Listen, you're Kylie. You're an unbelievably nice guy. Your job is really just to be available, I think. I don't know your Latin name. I doubt they even had opossums in ancient Rome.
A view gazes down into a tray of paint supplies. Felicity dabs yellow onto a paintbrush, then paints a bolt of lightning on a landscape mural that shows the Bogus Bean and Bunce Farms.
It's stupendous. Where's us?
Right here.
Paint an X.
She paints an X along a street of a nearby village.
Dear farmers Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, I have no alternative but to agree to your terms. Move the station wagon and open the manhole cover below the foot of the drain pipe next to the cobbler's shop and meet me there today at 10 a.m. sharp. I will hand myself over to you in exchange for the boy's safe return. Cordially, Mr. Fox.
Why do you write this in letters cut out of magazines?
I don't know, but you did the same thing.
I don't trust this guy. Anyway, set up the ambush.
Petey nods.
Synchronize your clocks. The time is now 9:45 a.m. Here, put these bandit hats on.
Mr. Fox distributes bandit hats. Outside an automotive shop, a station wagon's tire sits atop a manhole cover where text appears. Master Plan B. Bean uses a lockout tool to unlock the vehicle. Armed with weapons, Bogus, Bunce, Petey, and two other farm workers watch Bean back the station wagon off of the manhole. Bunce removes its lid and peers into the manhole. Across the street, a man works in a cobbler shop. Between windows on the shop's second floor, a clock reads 9:57. An array of wristwatches worn by the animals show the time. The face of a digital watch shows the time's now 10 a.m. Mr. Fox turns off its alarm. Along the village street, more armed men are positioned on a rooftop, around a bakery, and at a travel agency. A news van sits in an alley beside a laundromat, outside which are a reporter and a camera operator. The three farmers wait a block away from the manhole. Mr. Fox stares up the manhole.
Did you bring the boy?
Of course we did. Say something, kid.
Bunce turns on a tape player.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Come on, that doesn't sound anything like him. It's amateur night in Dixie.
Badger hands Mr. Fox a pine cone, then lights it on fire. He blows on it, stoking the flame. Smoke rises from the manhole.
What the cuss is he burning?
The pine cone launches out of the manhole. It lands in a trash bin. Flames rise from the bin. A man exits a building, pours a cup of liquid into the bin, and extinguishes the fire.
Is that all you've got, Mr. Fox?
A storm of flaming pine cones flies out of the sewer. One starts a blaze on the rooftop. Another fire burns a crate of bread outside the bakery. At the travel agency, a rack of postcards blazes.
It's unclear whether these...
As the news team reports, a pine cone hits their truck. The news van explodes with flames. As fires rage throughout the village, a small team of firefighters tries to put out the blazes. Bunce, Bogus, and Bean run through the street trying to extinguish their burning clothing.
28 pine cones fired, 22 targets hit.
Felicity notes the tally and targets on her mural. Phil speaks into a tin can.
Decoy phase, go.
Yes, sir.
At the other end of a makeshift phone line, Rabbit crosses himself, then climbs a ladder. On the TV in Bean's kitchen, live news footage shows Rabbit exit the manhole followed by other animal vigilantes who launch more of the flaming pine cones. The red-haired boy watches wide-eyed.
That's on fire!
In the sewer, another TV shows Bean in his burning coat.
Foxy, you're on.
We're ready. I'm gonna find him, and I'm gonna bring him back.
I know you will.
Contact!
Felicity touches two exposed wires together, and an explosion erupts from the manhole. Mr. Fox and Kylie emerge from billowing smoke above ground and speed away in a small motorcycle with a sidecar. They speed out of the village, headed toward the fields.
Are you scared of wolves?
Scared? No, I have a phobia of them.
Well, I have a thing about thunder.
Why? That's stupid.
I don't like needles myself.
Where'd you come from again? How'd you get in the sidecar? I feel like I'm losing my mind.
As Mr. Fox steers the motorcycle, a helicopter follows overhead.
I've got a fox on a motorcycle with a little fox and what looks like to be an opossum in the sidecar riding north on Farm Lane 7. Does that sound like anything to anybody?
Red, it's Franklin B. Turn around, get the cast back here, and pick us up on the ASAP.
The pilot nods and flips some switches. A patch on his shirt reads, Bean Air. Red turns the helicopter back the opposite direction. A tall concrete wall surrounds Bean's farm. A guard sits inside a security station beside an entrance. Above a boom barrier that blocks the entrance, a sign reads, Bean Annex. Mr. Fox drives unnoticed past the guard, under the boom barrier, and up to a building labeled A Silo. They park behind some sandbags and the trio rushes to a set of yellow doors.
Here we go.
He climbs onto Kylie's shoulders and tries to open the doors, but they're locked.
Kylie, you got a credit card?
Sure.
See, this is what I was saying about how good you are just being available for a titanium card. How the cuss should you qualify for this?
I pay my bills on time. I've always had good credit.
Using Kylie's credit card, he picks the top lock.
Come on.
Wait a second. What's this thing you do, the whistle with the clicking sound?
What do you mean? That's my trademark.
Mr. Fox pulls one door open a crack and checks the coast is clear, then follows Ash and Kylie into a courtyard and shuts the door behind him. Inside the door, Mr. Fox holds up a fist. They wait a moment until he gestures them to proceed. Carefully, they inch forward a step at a time. Beyond a rusty trailer, a safety barrel, and some crates, Ash spots a beagle. He taps Kylie and the others turn to look. Foam hangs from the dog's mouth. A tag on its collar reads Spitz.
Give me a blueberry.
What?
Blueberry.
You didn't say
you forgot
about
the blueberries? I did say it. I wrote it on your paw.
Yeah, it's written on the front of your paw.
Arrows point to the word blueberry written on Kylie's palm.
What's that white stuff around his mouth?
I think he eats soap.
Mr. Fox spies medicine on a shelf. The label reads, Name Spitz, breed beagle, 4 rabies.
That's not soap.
Well, why does he have that bubble?
It's rabid, with rabies. I've heard about this beagle.
He picks something up off the ground.
You two go ahead while I distract him.
As Ash and Kylie scurry up a piece of lattice along the wall, Mr. Fox squeezes a rubber bone. Meanwhile, in the attic, Christofferson sits quietly in his cage.
Huh? What?
Shh.
Kylie sees him through a grate in the ceiling that he's unable to open.
Hey.
Ash stands there in his tube sock bandit hat and cape.
I can fit through there.
Hmm?
You wanna know why?
Why?
Because I'm little. Give me that shoelace.
His cape flaps in the wind. Moments later, Ash descends into the attic on a shoelace. He drops down and hurries over to Christofferson's cage.
It's me. I'm rescuing you.
I've got mixed feelings about that.
I don't blame you.
Ash examines a padlock along the side of the apple crate.
Can you give me a karate lesson real quick?
Christofferson gets up.
Okay. Stand like this. Position yourself on the balls of your feet. Close your eyes. You weigh less than a slice of bread.
Outside, Mr. Fox carefully approaches Spitz.
I feel like there's a tenderness in your eyes, isn't there? Yes, I'm right.
Let's review the principal agility techniques. Jumping, flipping, landing.
You're a good boy. A little lonely, maybe, but terribly sweet. Is your name Spitz? That's German, isn't it?
Now for a rudimentary version of the cyclone chop. First, need to get a running start, which obviously I can't do in here. Then, as you arrive at the destination of the chop, lean and thrust into the point of contact. Paw remains open and straight, then withdraw instantaneously. Remember, it's the pullback that matters. The pullback generates the force of the impact.
Got it.
Ash eyes the lock.
Yeah, I'm just gonna chop this thing right off.
Stepping back from the apple crate, Ash closes his eyes and folds his hands.
Oh.
Kylie watches through the grate.
He's gonna do it.
He checks down below and sees Mr. Fox getting closer to Spitz.
Why, you're just as sweet as...
I thought he said never look a beagle in the eye.
Ash takes off running, trips, and somersaults into the apple crate, sending it teetering on the edge of the box where it sits.
Did you chop it?
Oh no, oh no, oh no.
The apple crate tumbles to the floor. Outside, Spitz's eyes turn red. He advances on Mr. Fox and chases him around the courtyard.
Christofferson? Christofferson?
I'm okay.
Ash looks down to the floor.
I'm okay.
The crate has shattered.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. You were just trying to unlock the apple crate.
No. I mean, I'm sorry about...
Oh, you mean from before, the apology you owed me, which you never actually said.
Right. I'm grumpy. I spit. I wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm just... different, apparently. But it won't happen again. Christofferson, I'm sorry.
Christofferson stares up at his cousin.
That's all right, too. Throw me the shoelace, please.
Mr. Fox climbs up the building and joins Kylie on the roof. He glances back down to the courtyard where Spitz runs in circles.
You okay?
Kylie looks at his friend, whose eyes appear as concentric rings of black and white. Mr. Fox gestures onward, and together with the boys, they sneak through a hatch and drop into a crate of yard trimmings. Ash gives Christofferson his missing shoe. Christofferson puts it on, and the four of them rush back toward the exit. Rounding a corner, they see something up ahead. They dash behind a row of crates, peek over the lids, and spot Frank Bean flanked by other farmers and a team of workers in front of the exit. The news crew is there with their van. The helicopter flies overhead.
He's wearing it.
Mr. Fox sees his tail hanging from Bean's neck.
Your tractors uprooted my tree. Your posse hunted my family. Your gunman kidnapped my nephew. Your rat insulted my wife, and you shot off my tail. I'm not leaving here without that necktie. Kill him!
As weapon fire cuts through the row of crates, the animals huddle behind a small section that's left intact. Mr. Fox sees the farmers and their workers reload.
Actually, we should just go. Where'd I park?
I weigh less than a slice of bread.
What?
I'll be right back.
Ash!
Chased by weapon fire, Ash dashes away, skillfully circumventing a series of obstacles. He jumps off a mound of dirt, sails past a flag, and lands on a platform alongside a building.
Dodge the grabbers, duck the taggers, jump the twig basket, and knock the cedar stick off the cross rock!
Ash finds a rake, breaks off its tines, and snaps the handle in half. What remains resembles a whack bat. He bounces off a tire up to the yellow set of doors, breaks off a handle with his improvised bat, then drops to the ground and digs a hole. The armed men chase after him. Bean lifts a hand, signaling them to stop. Ash's dad, cousin, and Kylie watch wide-eyed.
Hotbox!
Suddenly, Spitz bursts through the yellow doors. The rabid beagle knocks Petey to the ground, then turns its focus on Mr. Bean. Ash watches the dog chase Bean through the annex. Spitz leaps up onto the farmer and tears Mr. Fox's tail off the man's neck. The dog shakes its head angrily and the tail loses its fur. Mr. Fox gapes. As Spitz chases the farmers onto the roof of a lean-to, Mr. Fox, his friend, son, and nephew rush to the motorcycle.
Ash, that was pure wild animal craziness. You're an athlete. Here, put this bandit hat on.
Ash replaces his tube sock hat with a black bandit hat adorned with yellow stars.
Goggles!
The foursome dons goggles, then speeds past the farmer's men. Riding with Kylie in the sidecar, Christofferson snags Mr. Fox's tail off the ground and ties it to the sidecar's antenna.
Are you gonna stop?
Stop. Past more armed men, Mr. Fox steers the motorcycle up a ramp, through a round target at the top, over a perimeter wall, and away from Bean's farm. The farmers remain trapped atop the lean-to. Bean takes out his two-way radio.
Petey. Bring us a ladder, please.
Stand by. I just intercepted a high-frequency radio signal with a can, and I think they're on their way home.
In front of Felicity's mural inside the sewer, the animals rejoice. As the motorcycle speeds away, Kylie glances back behind them.
Don't turn around.
What?
The others all turn around, and the motorcycle comes to a quick stop. On a mound of rocks at the top of a snow-dusted hillside, a black wolf gazes down at them.
Where did he come from?
Mr. Fox lifts his goggles.
Where'd you come from? What are you doing here?
He points a finger at the wolf.
Canis lupus. Vulpes vulpes.
Mr. Fox gestures at himself.
I don't think he speaks English or Latin. Pensez-vous que l'hiver sera rude? I'm asking if he thinks we're in for a hard winter. He doesn't seem to know. I have a phobia of wolves.
Tears well in Mr. Fox's eyes. staring at the wolf, he hoists a fist in the air. The wolf returns the gesture.
What a beautiful creature. Wish him luck, boys.
Luck to you.
Good luck.
Good luck out there.
As the wolf trots away, it stops to look back at them, then continues into a patch of pine trees. Mr. Fox slides his goggles back down over his eyes, starts the motorcycle, and drives away. Uphill from the road, a train speeds the opposite direction. 3 days later, 2.5 Fox weeks. In the village, the news team interviews Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, who keep watch beside the manhole.
These three, in this reporter's opinion, obsessed farmers, remain convinced the fox in question will eventually reappear. Why?
Because foxes aren't meant to live in a sewer.
They're refugees.
All they have to eat down there is,
trash!
And not much of it.
Uh-huh. Thank you, farmers. For Action 12, this is Dan Peabody.
The view sinks below ground to the sewer.
Well, what are we looking at?
It's just his tonsils. They're a little swollen.
Is it serious?
No, hopefully you won't have to lose them.
Lose the tonsils?
I'm hungry.
Smell? Have some, water. Here.
I like wallpaper.
This is the first time I've been to a party where no one serves anything.
In gray, bleak rooms, the animals go about their days. Agnes, Ash, and Christofferson meditate beside Felicity, who paints a tornado. Nearby, a newspaper rests atop a stool. An article reads, Fox on the Prowl with Fantastic Mr. Fox. Above, a wall hatch opens.
My darlings.
Mr. Fox gestures at them to follow.
Where are we going?
Nobody knows.
We were in the middle of a meditation practice.
Watch your step. Let's see now. Where does this lead?
Oh, no. Foxy, it's filthy.
Keep a good grip, everyone.
This better be worth it.
I think I see a little sliver of light. What's this? Is it a door?
You're a terrible actor, Foxy.
Do you smell something? Is that Freon?
Shh. I'm going to crack open this trap door and see if something's on the other side. I highly doubt it, though. There's probably just more sewer. You know, wouldn't it be surprising if...
Open it.
Mr. Fox lifts open a grate. The foxes and Kylie peek out of the grate at aisles of food inside a massive supermarket.
Hey, look. There's a whole enormous, glorious, gigantic supermarket up here. And they close early on weekends.
Oh, wow. Nice job. You really are kind of a quote-unquote fantastic fox.
I try. Get enough to share with everybody, and remember, the rabbits are vegetarians, and badgers supposedly can't eat walnuts.
The kids tear into boxes of food.
I guess now that Christofferson's dad's already down to single pneumonia and getting better, he'll be going home soon, huh?
Actually, when he spoke to me from the hospital, he said he was already talking to Weasel about real estate availabilities down in our sewer system.
Oh, really? Well, now's the time to buy.
Kylie wheels a loaded shopping cart to a stop in front of them. He makes a series of gestures with his hands.
Okay, I get it. Is that your trademark?
Kylie shrugs.
I'm pregnant again.
Wow. I think we're both glowing.
Amber light glows from inside both Mr. Fox and his wife.
Do another toast, Dad.
Okay, let's see, yeah, right.
With
okay.
A box of goose crackles, a can of dried squab giblets, and an apple, he steps onto a soapbox.
They say all foxes are slightly allergic to linoleum, but it's cool to the paw. Try it.
Each holding a juice box, the others feel the floor with their feet.
They say my tail needs to be dry cleaned twice a month. But now it's fully detachable, see?
He holds up his tail.
They say our tree may never grow back, but one day something will. Yes, these crackles are made of synthetic goose, and these giblets come from artificial squab, and even these apples look fake. But at least they've got stars on them.
He tosses the food aside.
I guess my point is, we'll eat tonight, and we'll eat together, and even in this not particularly flattering light,
overhead lights turn on.
You are without a doubt the 5.5 most wonderful wild animals I've ever met in my life. So let's raise our boxes.
They lift their juice boxes.
To our survival.
They slurp the juice through straws. Mr. Fox grins.
How was that?
That was a good toast.
Ash turns on a portable radio that's clipped to his pants. Mr. Fox's smile grows. Happily, the group dances between the aisles.
Well, there she goes, with a brand new love affair, dancing with him like she don't even care. Let her dance with her.
view widens, traveling backward through the massive store. The view continues back farther, exiting a window into a parking lot. Above the entrance of the store, a sign reads, Bogus Bunsen Bean International Supermarkets. Across the entrance doors, letters spell out the word SALE. A title slides into the view, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Laura Post.